there, folks. This is the Mel Wright Real Estate Agent Show, episode 59. We were supposed to have Megan Adams join us today from lynda.com. We were really, really looking forward to the interview. Unfortunately, she could not join us. Hopefully, in a future episode, she will be able to come on. But we are planning with my great co-host, Jason Bates. Introduce yourself, Jason.
Yeah, hey, I'm Jason Bates. Looking forward to this topic here. Jason Bates with Valley of the Sun Real Estate Show. You can check out my podcast on my website, valleyofthesunrealestateshow.com.
And he's been extremely brave today because he's in pain, folks. He's got toothache. He went to see the dentist on Friday, which cost him a lot of money, and he's in a lot of pain. A bit of pain, aren't you, Jason?
I am in pain. I grind my teeth at night. Yeah. And so when I grind my teeth, it hypersensitizes my nerves, I guess. And I've got a nerve that's just, oh, it's killing me.
And now you're going to have to put up with me for a half hour.
Onward and upward here. On with the show.
All right. So, folks, obviously Megan couldn't make it this episode, but there was a great article on the Curator blog called The Ultimate Real Estate Facebook Marketing Playbook. And it's all about Facebook. And I'm going to go through some of the key points of it. And they've got 15 points that literally cover all the main areas. If you're thinking of doing paid Facebook advertising yourself, I would highly recommend that you go and read this article in great depth multiple times, because it does give some really great key points that you should really follow, which I see a lot of agents not follow, and that's why their Facebook paid advertisement doesn't work. And I think the other thing is, what you've got to remember, folks, is that if you do this advertising right, the leads are coming to you. They're not being shared out to a group of agents in a horse race. The leads are going to you, unlike certain portal sites that basically you have to give them gobs of money and then you're in a horse race. At least these leads will directly come to you. And I think a lot of agents forget about that, don't they, Jason?
They sure do.
Right.
Yeah.
So point number one, think clicks and leads. Now, funny enough, we start with this, and I don't totally agree with it 100%, but I do understand what they mean from this first point. And what do they mean by it? They mean that you're in sales, so you're about getting leads. So getting likes or building your brand is not really what it's about. And I agree with them about 70%, but I think there's also a place for using Facebook to build a local brand, and boosting some strategic posts can also help. What do you think about that, Jason?
Yeah, there's something about brand and brand awareness too. I mean, getting your name out there. You know, I've done things where I've just kind of put myself out there to get some impressions as to what they, you know, it's what they call them. And sometimes those impressions, when you're meeting somebody down the road, can say, oh yeah, I recognize your name, or I recognize, you know, your logo or something like that. So, I think brand awareness there's not really value you can put on that, but I think it is important.
Yeah. So, on the other hand, I can see where they're going, because you get a lot of agents just kind of, there's not much planning to it. They get a post which they personally like. Yeah. They're not really done a lot to build up their actual page. They occasionally post something to it. They get something they think that's really interesting, and they decide to spend like $20 to boost it. And then when they really don't get anything from it, they kind of rubbish the whole platform. And it's just craziness. So I see why they come out with that. Now, point two, have a smart lead follow-up system in place. And what they mean by that, folks, they recommend Follow-Up Boss, which is a great system. But I don't really think you really need to really delve into a system of that power and complexion. What you've got to understand, though, is depending on some of the other things we're going to discuss, not all these people are going to buy it straight away, but they have showed interest. So having some coherent structure, strategy of keeping in touch with them is rather important, because they might not be in the market to either sell or buy right now, but they've shown some clear interest and they've responded to your advert. So you should have some list building functionality and then some methodology about keeping in contact with that list. Would you agree with that, Jason?
Yeah, 100%. Absolutely.
And so many agents are so awful about this, Jason, about follow-up, basic follow-up with either something. They use Happy Grasshopper, MailRite, my platform has a competitive system, but utilizing some system that puts them in a monthly email list, sends something to them, just keep, and then maybe every third month give them a quick call. I think that's quite appropriate for the type of people that would apply to your Facebook advertisement. What would you say about that, Jason?
I'm a big believer the faster the better. So the faster you can get in contact with somebody, as soon as you get that notice, the better your opportunity or the increased, you know, conversion rate. So, and it's not just sending them a link to set up a portal to look at properties either. It's got to be personalized. It's, you know, I used to do LendingTree leads. I don't know if you're familiar with LendingTree or not, but I used to have those earlier in my career. And the sooner that you get in touch with that person and promote yourself, and that way they can feel connection to you, the better. You know, Facebook, there's pictures and all kinds of stuff, but it's still nothing better than a human voice. So the faster you can get in contact with them, even if it's a recorded message maybe or something that you could send to them, I think the better.
Oh, I totally agree. I think I was not explaining this that well. Thanks, Jason. There's two areas to this. What Jason is, it's been proven, and when I went down to San Francisco to the Eggman conference, what Jason's talking about is when you get a lead and either email or you've made it clear in your advert, in your capture, which we're going to discuss in a minute, you ask for their mobile number and you say you're going to just text them. Quick follow-through is really, really important, like what Jason's just said. I meant after that, Jason, and they've made it clear that they're not in the market at the present moment, that you should still keep in contact with them afterwards.
Yeah. At that point, you probably don't want to be too overbearing. Yeah. So once a month or something like that. Just, hey, how's it going? Here's the market conditions in your area, whatever. I think that's totally appropriate.
And funny enough, next week, and I had a discussion on Skype with him today, Jason, we're having Daniel Amlaziasan. I'm butchering his second name, but he's the CEO of Raleigh, which offers a platform to text. It's human to human. So somebody replies to one of your adverts and you're not available, one of his representatives will text the individual and engage them and see if they are suitable for the agent to directly contact. And he's coming on next week, Jason, to talk about his program. And it should be a really fascinating conversation. And he seemed to appreciate my humor as well. So on to the next one. Audience size, leave high school behind. What they mean by this is that you should be looking at a much bigger audience than you think. You know, obviously, you are hyper-localized, but also look at a bigger audience as well. And they're talking of audiences between 40 and 60,000 people in the article. I see where they're coming from, but it really depends on what your target is. You know, you're a luxury agent. You might have a smaller target. There are a lot of variables in this. But I do see where they're coming from, because a lot of agents, they go too hyper-local, too small audience, and that's linked to unrealistic budget sizes as well. What do you reckon about that, Jason?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you got to be broad enough to capture, you know, the bigger the net, the more people you can get in the net, more fishing in the net, whatever. So, you know, I would just recognize, and that's where I think a lot of audiences or a lot of realtors miss, is identifying their audience and then targeting that audience appropriately.
The next one is targeting, go wider. It says here, Facebook offers a staggering number of audience targeting filters. To put that in plain English, folks, they offer to really focus down into a precise target audience. They offer a number of filters which you can apply, age, zip code, sex, endless filters. They're suggesting that you don't go crazy on this. And the only filter they use is they go for a target audience between 28 and 65. I've seen a lot of agents spend a lot of time on the filters and they've just gone too potty with it. And that's what they're pointing out in this article. Number five, geography. Go hyper-local. And that's what I meant. It's a little bit, number five and number three are kind of are a bit of a contradiction there, a little bit. And the only way I can, after reading it about four or five times, Jason, is they're saying go hyper-local, but that doesn't mean you've got to go hyper-small audience. And I think that's where the point they're trying to make. Would you agree with that, Jason?
Yeah, no, I agree. So, I mean, your property's local, right? So you got to be somewhat local, but doesn't necessarily mean your buyer is going to be local.
So true. And do remember, folks, these are generalistic principles, and there will always be scenarios and situations where these general principles won't totally match. So you've got to be a little bit flexible. But I do think this article and what we're discussing right now will give you a really good framework and a much better understanding. Because like I said at the beginning of this conversation, folks, I think too many agents just do a bit of Facebook advertisement when they feel like it. And you've got to be much more methodical and understand how the system works. So we'll go on to the next one, and then we'll probably go for our break. And that's number six, match audiences to campaigns. Think relevancy. So this just sounds like stating the obvious, but it's another area where I see so many agents, Jason, really lose the plot on this. He's pointing out, if you've got a five-bedroom house with three bathrooms, this is all a generalisation because I was thinking of, you know, there's some millennials, if they're buying a property in the Bay Area, that they probably could afford really expensive. But in general, a five-bedroom, three-bathroom property is probably somebody older who's going to be able to afford that. But on the elephant, if you're a downtown loft, it's probably going to be appealing to the millennium generation or a younger group of people. So reverency is important. What do you think, Jason?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, again, know your audience, right? I mean, know who you're targeting, what the property you're trying to sell, and the lifestyle. And ultimately, that's really what you're selling, is a lifestyle in most cases. So that then should lend itself to the type of audience that you should target.
That's great. We're going to go to our first break, our only break, folks. And we'll be back in a minute going through this list that Curator provided, which I think is fantastic. We'll be back in a minute, folks.
Buying or selling a home in the greater Reno, Tahoe area? I know the best CRS real estate broker, and that's Karen Conrad. And you can find her at KarenConrad.com or call her directly at 775-527-7021.
We're coming back, folks. We're going to talk some more about Facebook and this article on the Curator. hopefully Chris has said he will come on the show. He's doing a tour at the present moment, but Chris did say he would come. He's one of the founders of Curator, Chris Smith, and I think he'll keep his word, and that should be a really fascinating conversation. I think this is another really important one, folks, and one of the crucial things that a lot of agents don't understand and don't keep to. Budget. Be consistent. Spend money. And what they mean is Facebook responds to consistency. If you've got consistent budget and you stick to it, you'll get more outreach for your single dollar, basically. They like to see consistency. And also, when it comes to Facebook, you've got to try the waters a little bit. But I see so many agents with really tiny budgets and they get very, very tiny results of it. I think you've got to have a realistic budget in the end. What I call a realistic budget, I think from 250 to 500 initially. And then when you start to get traction, you're probably going to look from 500 to 2,500. But whatever budget you do start off with, give it at least 3 months. Really plan out your adverts and read this article and have a realistic, consistent budget to start off with. What do you reckon, Jason?
Well, I couldn't agree more. I mean, I know a big realtor here in the Valley, here in Phoenix, Arizona. He dedicates a third of his income to marketing. So he does TV, radio, everything. So I know Facebook, I'm not saying dedicate a third of your income to Facebook, but you do need to set a budget and then, you know, stick with it.
Yeah.
100%.
Consistency. Obviously, if you've got no budget at all, you've got to look at more guerrilla type of marketing. But I think you can still, I think you'll be driving people from Facebook. You won't be in a horse race. You also got the element that Jason mentioned, where you're building your own brand as well. If I was an agent, it's simpler to go to Zillow, Trulio. You know, you just give them the money, and then this takes a little bit more work unless you hire a company like MailRiot or Curator, and there's a number of others. But the thing is, you can also do this yourself to some extent if you've got the time. And I think that 200 to 500, you're better off spending it on Facebook than with some of these portals, basically.
I agree with that.
Duration, shorter is better. Don't have the same advert going on for a month, folks. It ain't going to pan out. Yeah. It's probably 5 to 7 days. Swap it out with another one. If it's not a property for sale, or it's a more generalistic advert, you probably can leave it for another 10 days and then you rotate them. But don't have the same advert showing week in, week out. That just won't pan out. You won't get the results that you should do if you had some pre-planned adverts that you're rotating. This is down to lack of planning, lack of commitment, sitting down, writing some decent copy. One of the things I didn't point out with the number one that they start off with, they were saying it's got to be decent copy and have your links at the top, not right down the bottom, because they might disappear under the read more button. So you've got any calls or actions which are normally links, have them at the top of the advert, right? Now, point nine, placement. Well, they still... Sorry.
I'd like to add something real quick to that.
Yeah, sure, Jason.
If I could. So I ran an ad, and I did mine in bursts. So I know the article says 7 days or whatever. I did mine in 3 days. So, and I spaced mine out so that I hit when I felt that people were most likely to be looking for a home. So, for example, I did, you know, most people set up their plan of attack for Saturday or Sunday morning. They may start their home search, for example, on a Wednesday, and then look through and look for information or whatever, and then get everything mapped out or whatever for Saturday morning. They go out on Saturday morning, Sunday morning, and then Monday or Tuesday, maybe they're reviewing the properties that they saw over the weekend kind of thing. That was my thought process, and I actually got good results from that. And I didn't run ads at 2 o'clock in the morning because in Facebook you can put times.
Yeah.
And so I hit the times that I felt that most people were active on Facebook. So that's what I did. I got pretty good results from it. And I only spent $5 to be honest with you. I didn't spend very much money. So you talk about budget. I kind of blew that one out of the water, but I got like 1,000 or 990 impressions and 10 website clicks.
That's just, you know,
which is really, really good for $5.
It's just mind-blowing, really. Be truthful about it, Jason. So let's go on to ad placement. There's different areas that you can place adverts. There's desktop and mobile, and there's newsfeed, and then there's right column, and you also go Instagram. I've heard that some agents are getting some really consistent and great results from Instagram. I haven't got too much experience, but I will be gaining some more over the coming months. But I agree with the article. If you want to get the biggest return, it does cost a bit more money. You're best off staying with the desktop newsfeed, mobile and desktop. That's directly in your feed. Reason why I'm struggling for a little bit for the wording is I was trying to find the right. It's not always clear what advert is and what isn't. It's got to the situation very similar to Google. There are some key little provisos that show out that it's a paid placement, but you have to look hard. It just goes with the territory, really. But I think Facebook, because they know so much more about the audience, the relevancy of the adverts, they do take care that you, if you are seeing adverts, they've got some relevance to what you're looking at, what your interests are. They have a much more deeper knowledge of the audience than even Google does. Right, but do go with desktop news feeds and mobile. Also remember that 70% of your audience are going to be looking at your adverts on a mobile device. So that's that. This is a biggie as well. Number 10, ad design, two kinds of clarity, clear message and high quality imaging. You need on the Creator site, they've got some other articles where they delve into different color schemes, having a border around the photograph of a certain color type. You're only allowed 20% of text on the photo, so don't go bonkers about putting all text all over your photos, because they're going to be blocked, and you're going to get a nasty message from Facebook, and you definitely don't want to get banned. So do remember, there are some services that tell you if you're putting too much text on, but it's normally the quality of the image that's important. So image quality, spending a bit of time on it, understanding the 20% rule with your text will triple the amount of results you're going to get from your adverts. What do you feel, Jason?
Yeah, image quality. You know, I kind of go back and forth on this, I'll be honest, a little bit. Image quality, is good. It needs to be good. It needs to look professional. Don't put some photos up there that you're not authorized to do. Make sure that you have authorization to use the photos in your ads or whatever. But I think the message is just as important in this, right? So sometimes you can get away with maybe a photo that isn't as good. But if the message is very clear, and the call to action is very clear or whatever, then I think within that design, then I think you can get away with some stuff.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from. I don't totally agree with you there, Jason, but it's a gray area. I think the text, the imaging, all of it is really important. And if you can get it all spot as best as you can, the more response you're going to get. But we all live in the real world where we've got we're juggling a lot of different balls. And just do the best you can, folks. The more time you spend on planning and strategy and trying to get this right, the more response you're going to get.
Here's the thing where I'd say on this that people can get tripped up on. Sometimes simple is better. Mm. Don't overthink it. Just kind of go with it or whatever. Some people want these elaborate like pictures and this and that. And they want the pictures to tell the story or whatever. Not necessary all the time. So there's a very effective commercial here in Phoenix that is Tuft & Needle. I don't know if you've ever heard of that company or whatever, but they're taking the mattress companies out of the mix. They've portrayed the mattress companies as a middleman to mattresses, which has jacked up the prices of mattresses. And so they have a commercial that has no sound whatsoever on it. It's just a quiet sound, quiet. And then it has like Tuft & Needle. I forget the exact verbiage that they used. But your screen goes silent, so it's kind of weird because you're expecting a commercial in your brain. You're kind of trained to hear a commercial. But because it goes silent, people look at the screen to say, oh, did somebody hit the mute button on my TV or something? So it's a very ingenious kind of marketing strategy they do. But it's very simple. So sometimes simple can be effective too.
Totally agree with you. I think that was a great point, Jason. You can overthink things as well. You can overdo the elaboracy of image. There is a balance, and Jason's totally right there. So place links prominently in the copy. We touched that with point one. I forgot they were going. Have your links, your call for actions at the top of the advert. Don't have them buried where it says read more. That will crucify you. Also with the imaging, it's better, they've got some examples on the article. It's better to have a multi-image where you've got one main image and you've got other imaging. The more imaging you can have, the better. People just love it. When they're looking at housing, they're responding, they just love it. Number 12, entice just enough. That's something where, if it's a house that's on the market, you don't have to give the price. Get them to go to a landing page and get some details out of them and then tell them the price and some other details. You don't even have to tell them the precise street address, just the rough area. Be a bit of a tease. Teasing's delightful, isn't it, Jason?
It is delightful. I guess that's the right word for it.
Everybody likes to be teased. Depends who's teasing them, doesn't it?
Sometimes it can drive you mad too, I guess. But yeah, teasing is good, and I agree. I mean, put enough on there to create someone that they want more, right? If you kind of tell everybody everything up front, you know, the real good thing, the greeting cards are the masters at this. They say a lot in very few words, right? So, and they get a meaning across very, very quickly. So if you can think of Hallmark greetings when you're kind of doing that, entice just enough.
That was great, actually, because greeting cards, folks, that's an art form, and the people that produce the copy have a lot of experience. It takes a lot of work to cut text down and not lose the message. It's an art form. And
like some of these tweets out there, right? Some of these Twitter, some of these people are just ingenious on Twitter and how much they get in 140 characters.
Not mine.
Yeah, I'm not. But it's a great example, right? If you can keep it to 140 characters or whatever and jam it in, instead of typing out the word and, they type in the and sign, the F8 or F7 or whatever it is. Those sort of things, help combine words and descriptive, use a lot of adjectives, but not
what's an adjective?
Yeah, what is that?
Oh, sorry. So I just couldn't resist it. I apologize. Number 13, coupled ads to landing pages. This is a term used in industry. What it means is, first of all, you have advert. It has some photography. Should always link your adverts unless you're there about likes and branding, which we discussed at the beginning of this conversation. There should be linked to a landing page on your website. And the advert photography should match the landing page photography. You don't want to send them to something that looks completely different to the advert. You know, what I also see, and this is a real no-no, folks. Well, you can do it, but you just will not get the result. I see a lot of agents send people to their home page. Don't make specific landing pages. Don't attempt to get their contact details. And they send them to the home page. Really a waste of money and effort, really. You need some, you know, there's lead pages. There's a half a dozen landing page constructions. It's the area that Mel Wright works with agents to do this. If you can link it to a landing page and a lead magnet, the results you're going to get are going to be much, much more than just sending them to the home page. What do you reckon, Jason?
100%. Landing pages, for those of us that don't know, or those of you who don't know, are pages that require something from the consumer in exchange for whatever you're giving them back. So it's a way to gather information from them, sometimes referred to as squeeze pages as well. You see them when you go to a website, you try to, you know, click off the website and it says, hey, before you click off, we'd like to get some information from you. That's a landing page, and that's a way to build that database. So I couldn't agree more. I see this all the time too, Jonathan, that people have like this elaborate multi-million-dollar house that they've never represented. They don't even, you know, they're first-time homebuyer agent, yet they got this like $10 million home as part of the deal. And it looks sexy, and I'll give them that. But at the same time, I think it's a little misrepresentation of who they are and what they do. So I like the idea here of coupling the ads to the landing page.
Yeah. Monitor your performance. This is around another technical term called A/B testing. And also, Facebook are always changing their technology, the parameters. There has to be a bit of monitoring. And if you've got, you see some adverts are different. Jason's talked about timing, varying the timing of the adverts. You could have different, same picture with different text. Obviously, this only applies if when your budget starts to increase and your commitment to Facebook increases, or you hire a company that's got a bit of experience in it. I've been working with a specialized Facebook expert that does a lot of work with agents in Canada. He's been helping me build out the Mail Right system, and he's helping me with the supervision of our test brokers at the present moment. And there has to be some, you know, some adverts need to be dropped, their budget needs to be cut down, and the adverts that are working, they get increased monthly budget. So, but this is when your budget increases, I would say above 500 maybe, and you've got multiple adverts, and you're getting enough, large enough database where you can make some scientific decision on the data volume you're getting. What do you reckon, Jason?
Yeah, 100%. You got to monitor that. You can't just set it and forget it. I think a lot of realtors do that. Just set it and forget it. And okay, waiting for my phone to ring. Wait, my phone didn't ring. What happened? And so you've got to get in there and kind of see where your audience is at, because you're not going to be able to identify them right out of the gate. If you are, then maybe you need to be a marketing, you know, guru down in New York City or something like that, because this stuff, it does change all the time.
And then lastly, innovate, stay on the cutting edge. Now, this is another area where hiring a company, because they should be keeping themselves au fait. Facebook is a fast-moving platform. They're changing it. Look at live video. Look at some of the bad points about live video. There's always they're testing, they're modifying. You've got to keep yourself abreast of these changes. Cut the losers, as they say. Get content calendar, map out ads, post in advance. Pre-planning, back to planning, folks. Just doing it when you feel like it and not being dedicated to it and methodical, you're just not going to get the results. So I think we've gone through a lot here. What do you reckon, Jason?
Yeah, the only thing I would say in that pre-plan, just like I said before, you can set the times that your ads are actually live. So this is, you got to think of like it's a TV station or whatever that you're advertising on. You know when it's going to be on. You can prepare yourself if you are getting calls, if that's your call to action to call you right away, then you can be prepared for those things, sort of things. So definitely plan ahead, because we've kind of lost that word viral. I haven't heard that word in a long time. But these ads, I mean, if they're done right, I mean, if you look at some of the stats on some of these, you can reach 62,000 people, targeted people, in a very short period of time.
True.
So could get overwhelmed if your ad's done right and done, you know, appropriately, which is going to take a little bit of time. But if it is, then you could reach a lot of people in a very short period of time. So you need to be prepared for that, how you're going to handle it.
Well, I'm sorry, folks, that Megan Adams couldn't join us, but I think we've really given some excellent value here about Facebook. And thanks for the crew of curator for producing the article. Hopefully they won't be too mad about me poaching their content, but I've given them a lot of comment. I've mentioned the article numerous times. In the show notes, we have links to the article and some other resources. So do go to the MailRite site. That will probably be put up over the weekend. And I do try and write some decent, a long article about what we discussed and offer extra value. Thank you so much, Jason, for staying with him. He's been in a bit of pain, but I think you could see it was worth the effort because we did cover some really interesting stuff. What's the best way for people to get hold of you, Jason?
Check out my website. I could send everybody to a landing page, right? So we I will do that to you. but my website, valleyofthesunrealestateshow.com.
That's great. And we'll see you next week on the MailRite Real Estate Show. Please go to iTunes, folks, and subscribe. And if you feel like it, please give us a review. It's great to have your views of the show, and it does really help the show. We'll be back next Monday. We normally put the show up on Tuesday on iTunes and then also put it on the website. We do have iTunes, YouTube channel. When we have a guest, we normally have a discussion after the podcast, which is extra content, which we put on the website and on the YouTube channel. So we're not going to do this time because Jason wants to go off and complain to his dentist. So we're going to end now, and we'll see you next week. Bye.